This is IBM, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
This is the best lecture series. Lessons and talks on various Islamic topics.
Today's program is the continuation of Recommendations to Husbands. What's Our Problem? By Dr. Ahmed Saq.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين لا شريك له ذلك أمرت أنا والمسلمين. My dear respected sisters and brothers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We resume our meeting for this program.
الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا. What should you say at the time of crisis? If you say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, you get three credits from Allah at the same moment. Number one, ulaika alayhim salawatun min rabbihim wa rahma wa ulaika humul muhtadun. You know salawat, plural of salat. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala an-nabi. Yes or no? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is receiving salat from Allah, means blessing. So you get plural of blessing by having patience and you say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So think of yourself, how many times you have been tested, anything and everything, even crazy Muslims shouted at you, yelled at you, or stole your money, or spread rumors against you, or you did the favor and then they accuse you because of the favor. Say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, you get salawat, rahmah from Allah and hidayah, guidance. Now, what's your problem with Allah? If you don't like your problem, He'll give you the other problem. What is the other problem? Let me. If you don't like this problem, Khalil, Omar, would you like to have the following problems? When you are doing family counseling, this how you pacify a person. I know you don't like this problem. How about I'll give you the other problems? Are you educated? Yes. Did you go to university? Yes. Who told you to go to university? When you were a child, you went to elementary school and the exams were tough. But when you went to high school, they were tougher. You go to university, tougher and tougher. Why? Stay. Drop. High school drop out. No. You want to be university graduate. Prestige of the degree, of the ilm, or money later on, wazifa. Is it not true anytime you go to a higher level, you have to study higher and blood and sweat and stay overnight? Of course. I slept on the floor for my master's degree at the American University in Beirut to finish my experiment 24 hours, drop. Here in Urbana-Champaign, I used to live on the couch for 4 years in the laboratory. Don't I sacrifice, you have? It's not easy. So you don't like it? Let me give you the other tests. Whatever test they are coming to you complaining, say, okay, I'll give you other tests. You don't like this test, husband, wife fighting or whatnot. Do you have a father? They may say yes. Do you have a mother? Yes. Do you want now the news come to you from overseas that your father and mother dead? No. Do you like to have, you have children? Yes. Do you want now the news come to you that your children are dead? No. Do you want to have car accident, lose your legs? No. Do you want to have Alzheimer's disease? No. Do you have Parkinson's disease? No. Do you want to lose your eyes? Sight? No. Do you want to lose your ear? Do you want to lose your... Do you want to lose all of them at one time? No. How about your father and mother and children and wife and everybody come to now and say all of them are dead? We have a case study in the old country. They were going from Beirut to Baalbek in a station wagon, upside down, burned into ash. The father tried to cut out, lost his hand. He looked at his wife and children and the baby crying. The baby, daddy, daddy. But he lost his hand and blood is coming. He was seeing his own family, all of them are burning into ash, and the babies crying at the same time. He could not help anybody. Do you like this to happen to you? No, 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 no. Tayyip, you don't want anything. How about you lose your job, you lose your house, and you lose everybody, and you'll become homeless sitting at the corner and extending your hand. And you, sister, you like this? No. You, brother, you like this? No. You want to go to jail? No. You want anything? No. Everything I tell you? No, 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 no. But you said yes, yes, yes for your exam in the high school and college and whatnot, and you graduated. How do you want to graduate? You don't want any problem, huh? You want to go to hell. You don't want to go to Jannah. You think Jannah is free? No. So what I should do? I said, don't you know there is something called sabr, sabr, sabr? You know what is sabr? Patience. I said, do you drive a car? Yes. Does the car have shock absorbance? Many of them tell me, I don't know. So how do you... really, really, they tell me, I don't know. Does it have... what is shock absorbance? I said, okay, do you know that when you drive a car, when you are bumpy street, up and down, then the car cools down? Oh. I said, if there is no shocks to absorb it, what will happen to you? You'll be dancing in the car and hitting your head and the ceiling. Oh, I didn't know that. I said, yes. So, you know why those excellent engineers have put those shock absorbers? So you don't have bumping up and down. Why you are bumping up and down? Why don't you have shock absorbance and then cool yourself down? How can I cool myself? I said, you have to cool yourself and have shock absorber. How can I have shock absorbance myself? I said, number one, you have to have sabr. And Allah says it, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا. What? Sabiru is not enough sabr. When your sabr has lost, you reach the maximum of the sabr, now you have to buy another sabr called musabar.
You are listening to the best lecture series with Dr. Ahmed Sakr. We will be back after this short break.
For Youth Matters, Muslim World News, National News, Islamic Information, Muslim Scholars Insights, Business and Legal Advice, and the hottest debates on current affairs, tune in to IBN, the Islamic Broadcasting Network, the voice of American Muslims.
Welcome back. You're listening to the best lecture series with Dr. Ahmed Sakr.
I said, suppose you are driving Fiat or Volkswagen. It has shock absorbance, itsy bitsy. But Mercedes has bigger, and Cadillac, whatever. So why don't you go and get a bigger shock absorbance, replace it, and get to keep the car working? So in order to live peacefully, when your sabr is lost, you have to go and improve by getting better sabr, which is called musabar. Isbiru sabiru. Have more sabr on the lost sabr. But for how long? This problem is going to face me. One day, 1 year, 10 years? Well, I don't know. It depends between relationship with Allah. He said, warabitu. Rabitu, never ever lose hope. Continue with this sabr and musabara till you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't want? I can't help you. And then you will never have sabr and musabara and murabata unless you have number four. Wattaqullah, taqwa. When you have taqwa, then Allah will send you angels from heaven to show you how to have sabr with musabara and with continuity till the end, till you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we tell them that this life is a life of testing and there is no way that you will get out of it. So your problem is, when you have any problem, what to do? When you have problem, what should you do? Shout, yell, or what we told you yesterday, we showed you some of the problem of the problems of Anbiya. Ayyub alayhi salam. Remember Ayyub. Remember Yunus alayhi salam. What happened to Yunus? What did he do? He moved from city to city without the permission of Allah. Allah made him to be engulfed into whale. What did he say? The dua? La ilaha illa ant subhanaka inni kuntu min azam. And I told you what you from the subcontinent taught us. You read that ayat kareema 125,000 times and how you count. I tell the Arabs, they say, we never heard this, we never saw it. I say, that's the beauty, we are learning more customs and habits, which is not part of the Sharia or tradition, it's not a bid'ah, it's not anything, it's custom and habit that will bring us closer to Allah. And I said, I will encourage people to do it in order to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what should we do? I said, see here, I gave a few. You should start reading Quran, number one. You should start reading Quran more and more with devotion and daily basis. Brother Mujib, you are a role model, huh? Maybe you are doing it. I have to use you every day, every minute. As long as I'm here, till you kick me out. Number two, also you should listen to the recitation of Quran. It's not enough that I read Quran. I have also to listen Quran on both levels. Because I told you many times there are two ayat in the Quran that I should listen and I should read also. Number three, now also you should increase your salat, especially nafila, tahajjud, and qiyam al-layl. It's not easy. If I did not do it before, now I should start doing it. What do you mean? I'm tired, exhausted. I go to clinic, you tell me I'm too tired. How can I wake up at 3 o'clock before Fajr? And you want, I said, okay. Do you love Allah? Yes. Go and talk to Allah. But he's 24 hours, but that is the right time he's free for you. And now, I mean, you find people, I mean, those who fall in love, husband, wife, or at the boy and girl, I mean, before marriage, don't they do every possible means to entice the other person to love them? So you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, go and talk to him. In a time and place, nobody sees, nobody hears, except him. The other thing that you should increase also, prolong your sujood. And we told you yesterday, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how long he kept his face on the floor, and Aisha radiallahu anha, she was shocked as if he was dead. And one time he was even crying, but he could not cry inside the bedroom. He went out the door in order not to disturb her while he was weeping, and she was shocked. Why? What did I do to you to cry? He said, no, I'm grateful to Allah because what Allah gave me, so I started crying. How many of us, when we are being blessed with something, we go and make Salat al-Shukr, and during Salat al-Shukr with sajda, tears out of happiness? The other thing is that we should also try to understand and enjoy the meaning of Quran and Salat. Most of us may not enjoy except the melodic voice, but let's also try to understand. How can I understand? Take a course on Quran. You know, in the Sharia course, because I taught it so many times, so now I spend at least 15 minutes to half hour on Tafsir Quran before we go to the chapter. I said, either you read after me, and then I give them in sheets the summary of the whole chapter, the theme of the surah, the subject in the surah, the wisdom behind it, and what's the final. Like Surah Al-Baqarah, why it is called Baqarah? Cow? So what? Why cow? Is it cow? Who cares for cow? So usually either I explain it in 2 hours or in 2-3 minutes. It's composed of three stories in one story. When I tell these children, they enjoy it. I tell mom and dad, they say, please continue, tell us the whole story. So beautiful that really it needs every parent to tell the children, teenagers, how to win. One millionaire was assassinated during the days of Musa. Nobody knew. Come on, Musa, you claim yourself you are prophet. Come and tell us. Who killed him? I don't know. They tried to find out. Nobody. So since you're a prophet, go and tell Allah who. He went, Ya Allah, who killed him? He said, tell them to kill a cow. Illogical. We are telling you who killed him. You tell us kill a cow? Well, I don't know. What type of cow you are telling her? He went. He told him, it's a cow that never married, never plowed. Virgin, how can we find out that? And what type of, again, back and forth, okay? Then finally also how old, how young, and then what color. While this story going back and forth, there was another story too. So the story of the dead person assassinated, the story of Musa back and forth. The third story, one old man found out that he's going to die. He has a baby son, and therefore he said to his wife, I don't have anything to let leave for you and your child except this cow. I'll put it up in the mountain. When the son become a few years old, tell him to go and get it. He smell it like a sniff, and then she will know that she will come to him. So it was a wild cow in the mountain. So that boy was told by his mother to go and get the cow. He couldn't believe, but really he went to the mountain and then he saw a cow. And then she sniffed him and she followed him. He came to mom. Now mom told him, now this is our inheritance. Go and sell it. Whatever money we come will be our fortune. While he was going to the market to sell it, a man at the corner stopped him. Cha-cha. Do you want to sell this car? Yes. How much? My mother told me, suppose $1,000. I'm just using figure to reach to that figure. Shall I give you $1,500? He said, no. Yeah, why? You will tell mom I sold it more than what? He said, no. I love my mom. I obey my mom. Whatever my mom told me, I will sell it. Go back to your mom and tell her that I found a cha-cha on the street. He's ready to give me 15 instead of 1,000. She told him, yes, go and sell it 1,500. He went to him. She said, yes. He said, I'll give you now 2,000 because you want back and forth. She said, no. She said, okay, go to mom. So he started going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, till he reached the level, listen, in book of Ibn Kathir, he said he reached, he's ready to give him the cows. After you slaughter it, you fill it with gold. And finally, he went to sell it with that time of gold. He did not see that man. Vanished. He thought maybe he went to the market. He went to the market. While he was entering the market, he did not see yet the man. He saw a big crowd, and everybody was telling to Musa, this is the cow, this is the cow, the yellow one. It is that cow. Now they told him, young boy, we want to buy it from you. He said, what? No. There is one man who wants it. I'm looking for him. Where is he? He could not find him. And this is the only cow which is fitting the... How much? He said, gold filled. They told him, you crazy boy, what are you talking about? Nobody in the world will give. So it was also a dialogue back and forth, back and forth with the boy, and the boy, khalas, either this or leave me alone. Musa, what else? Wallah, this is what Allah said. Finally, they had no choice. He said, okay, what to do with it? He said, go and slaughter it. You, Musa, crazy, you want us to slaughter it after we pay all this money? He said, this is the only alternative. That is multi-billionaire man. You want to know who killed him? You have to do it. Finally, they had to slaughter it. فَذَبَحُوهَا وَمَا كَادُوا يَفْعَلُونَ They don't want to do it, but they have no choice but to do it. And then, you crazy Musa, what do you want us to do? He said, he took shoulder, he went to the dead person, in the name of Allah, woke up. The man woke up. Who killed you? My nephew. My nephew? Why? I had no children. So he thought he'll kill me now and get my inheritance rather than waiting later and get part of it. Well, and the boy was sitting there. His nephew was sitting observing. Well, so they caught him. Of course, they killed him. And the man went bye-bye. What does Allah give us the moral story of it? ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَهْيَ كَالْحِجَارَ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَ That your hearts, Bani Israel, your hearts are still tougher than rocks. You see rocks in the mountains? They crack and water comes. Source of life. And you don't have neither source of life, nor sympathy, no mercy on humanity. You are still worse than rocks because rocks are better than you. I don't know how many have gone to mountains. Usually on freeway of mountains, they tell you, watch falling rocks. Why falling rocks? Is it for no reason? In that ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling that falling rocks out of khashya of Allah, the mountain is cracking and the rocks are falling out of fear of Allah. It's not haphazard. The meteorites, they don't come haphazard because of turning around, because they want to burn the jinn who are trying to steal the information. So I'm saying every surah we have it. I have about 56 surahs in the course of Sharia. We try to cover as much as possible. We have the information in English like this. I mean, why it is called Baqarah, why it is Ali Imran, why it is... If I ask you, what, give me one sentence about Baqarah, about Ali Imran. What do you say about Baqarah? The whole theme of the Surah Al-Baqarah is about Bani Israel. The whole theme about Ali Imran, about Christians. The whole theme about Nisa is about our obligation to our woman. And it goes on. At least I should know what is the theme. You know, many Arabs, they told me, at least now we know what is the surah, why for? We read Quran emotionally, we don't know why. We don't know what is the theme, why the title is that, why is this, why is that? This part of the Sharia class, by the way. I mean, Sharia we take, Quran, Hadith, Fiqh, Sirah, all these things. While we are discussing 1 hour that chapter, we take 15 minutes to half an hour on Quran reading and meaning, and then we go for dua, then we go for pledges. We have to pledge every time what to do and not to do. And we go for hadith to memorize 2 words. Can you imagine hadith, I give you 2 words? Is it too much to memorize hadith 2 words? Huh? Can you give me hadith 2 words? Huh? Hadith? This la taghdab, la is 1 word, ghadab is another word. Ad-deen al-nasiha, ad-deen al-mu'amala, ittaqillah. It's part of a big hadith, but it is a complete hadith meaning. La taghdab, it's 2 words, huh? 2 single words. Ad-deen al-nasiha, deen is nasiha, deen mu'amala. I gave them a series like this, 2 words, 2 words, so everybody is obliged to memorize it. It's easy. Is it difficult to us? No. And then explain it? No. I have it all in sheets of paper, ready-made, how you pronounce it even, what's the meaning, and in Arabic typing. So I'm saying all this are needed. I'm not telling you to invite me for Sharia, no. Where are we? We finished?
You are listening to the best lecture series with Dr. Ahmed Sakr. We will be back after this short break.
Do you enjoy IBN's programs? Do you think it's important for us to be on the air? Support IBN by making a pledge today, $1 a day, to the Islamic Media Foundation. Help IBN programs to continue by making your monthly contribution today. Pledge $1 a day online at www.ibn.net or call us to pledge over the phone at 703-241-9659. Help us continue to be your voice, the voice of American Muslims.
We're back with Dr. Ahmed Sakr, your host for the Best Lecture Series.
Now, the things that what we should do is group therapy. We told you about it yesterday. Now, you're coming here is a group therapy. You're doing it for your patient. But when you sit together as Muslims, you transcend your profession into Islamicity of your profession. In your profession, they don't tell you the spirituality. I don't know if it is true or not. To get a degree as a psychologist or psychiatrist and as a medical doctor, they don't care for Islamicity. They don't tell you salah, they don't tell you zikr, they don't tell you make tahajjud, qiyam illal, they don't tell you dua or no dua. That's not their business and it's not your business in the profession. But as a business profession in Islam, you have to have all of these in order to live in peace and harmony within yourself. And you have to tell and demand from the patient who comes to you all these things, tell them from an Islamic point of view, this is what you should do. If you don't do it, don't complain. Except blame yourself. The other thing, whenever we are facing a problem, we should remember Allah and plead our case to Allah by praying a special salat called we said Haja. The last one, number 10, one of the best recommendation would be what? Honest to God. If you want to scare everybody, why you are worried about this problem? Suppose now you are going to die now. What? Die? So why not? So why you are worried? Why you are fighting with lawyers and? Give me a break. If you are going to die at this moment, you think you are going to go to Jannah? You think you prayed enough? You made zakat enough? You made hajj enough? You made sadaqah enough that you are going to go to Jannah? So why you are worried? Why don't you prepare yourself for departure? I have an article about the prepare yourself for departure. Not to come again to this planet Earth. Honest to God, when you start telling them about departure, they cool down. Mean you want me to die? Or should death can come? So why you are worried? The whole thing is behind you. But no, the whole thing is on your shoulder. You are going to be there in the day of judgment facing you. So take it easy. Is it okay? Now that is general about your problem with Allah. We'll talk about depression in the second session. If you have any question or any comment about this, your problem with Allah. Yes, Akhi.
I have a comment about one thing you mentioned about sharing the information with the counselor. I think it's not very therapeutic what you suggested. I may be off. From my angle, it's kind of important to vent out your resentments and, as you say, wash out your dirty laundry, if you want to call that. But it's, I think, obligation on the counselor. We are obligated not to share that information with anyone, even our spouse. And that's how we practice.
I agree with you. What I meant, they sit with me 10 hours to tell me all the history of their life. This is what I'm referring. They want to tell me and they want me to listen. Wait, I want to finish. I listened already 1 hour. Still, I didn't finish. You want to tell me day by day of your relationship, what had happened on that day, on this day, on that. This is what I'm referring
to. What you were suggesting was to apply a band-aid for a problem that's more serious.
Yakhi, come and see how miserable it is, and they, because we bring them those stories of MBA and whatnot, they love it, they enjoy it, they feel happy. Now, as if I am the slave and the prisoner of war for him and her, and I have nothing in the world except sitting and listening to their story. He comes by himself, she comes by herself, and then they have to come, and we have to give them hospitality and dinner and lunch and whatnot. They are happy because we talk spirituality, and there is commonalities of the spirituality, and they feel happy and happy. When we tell them story after story, believe me, so happy. But there is time. You know what I thought yesterday? What you do in your clinic, while they are waiting in the waiting room, put a video, let them see you or whatnot about those, what we are talking now, spirituality. Let them hear what had happened to every prophet, to every other. Before they come to you, to talk to you, they'll be relaxed and happy. If those prophets had had all this problem, maybe this will be a good idea before they see you, from a religious point of view, Put them all the religious item and the stories of the Anbiya on a video. Adam will give, suppose, he will select from him whatever you want and tell him to dub things with these things in order. Let them see and hear, then maybe they relax a little bit. Yes?
Just a comment or a suggestion that might be helpful is to set a time limit. I know that you have said that you've spent 10 hours with them. What we do in practice, I'm sure, in Islamic counseling, we can do the same thing, is tell them you have 60 minutes. It's a 50-minute hour, or 10 minutes for me to recoup my ideas. And in this 50 minutes, we will have to make an estimation of your problem. So let's be precise, and I will interrupt you ahead of time. So they're ready for that.
I said it somewhere. Please tell them. You have a time limit. We are not here to spend more than 1 hour. And even 1 hour is too much. What did I say yesterday? If I have a secretary part-time coming helping me, we have intercom between her room and my room. I said, buzz me and say loudly, there is somebody waiting for you. You have appointment. You have appointment in 5 minutes. They hear it. They don't care for it. Then after 5 minutes, she said, the time is over. Waiting people. People, don't you have to go? So this is the only way indirectly to tell them courtesy, feel sympathy on me for the others. I have time. I don't have time for one family. I have many other activities to do. I'm not a family counselor, but I do family counseling every day. I am fed up of family counseling, but I cannot run away from it. People call me, as I told you, Yesterday I told you, people from Mecca called me. I never know them. I don't know how they got my name from Mecca. Don't they have imams in Mecca? They have. About divorce, yes.
About spirituality,
yes.
Medicine. I think even the American Medical Association is getting involved with it, because recently a friend of mine was telling me there was an article where they had taken, non-Muslims had taken people who were going to surgery, and before that they had somebody who didn't even know them pray for them, and they found out that these patients did better post-operatively than the ones that didn't have any prayer for them.
I agree.
So there has been lots of things going on, and I think these people are starting to believe in spirituality more than...
There is one American lady professor somewhere in North California, she called me. She was writing a book about food and spirituality. And she wants to know the food of a Muslim and the spirituality. She interviewed me so many times on the phone. Finally, she published that book, one chapter about Islam and food spirituality. And you can see that she was fascinated to know that in Islam, everything we do, food, there is spirituality. You say Bismillah before you eat, you say Alhamdulillah when you finish, when you drink, when you slaughter the animal, all this. It seems she said, you have everything in life is spirituality, means touch with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and relationship with Allah.
Brother, I would like you to give some comments on inheritance.
Yeah.
And also, like, you know, when the husband and wife are earning, and if the wife wants to spend it, the husband always has the question that why you are spending the money, although she is spending her own earning, which I don't think belongs to the husband. So please,
you ask so many questions in one. Now, Islam says the earning of the wife is her own earning. No husband has the right on her earning. Your earning is not for you only. It's for you, your wife, your children, and your parents. Her earning is her earning. She has the right to do whatever you want. However, she is responsible for the house activities and fixing and then cleaning and cooking, whatnot. You cannot do it, you are a career. So from your earning, you have to take care of your house. In this way, he's taking care of everything. You are obliged to take care of only. If you want a servant in your absence in the clinic, so you employ the servant to take care of the house. But he has no right to tell her, your money is my money. No. But if they decide to join together and say, wallahi, whether you or me, we are one. See, when you reach that level, you are really true, honest, sincere Muslims. When you say to each other, your money or my money, when I die, it's yours. When you die, it's mine. Who cares? And it is for our children. But also, as I said, your earning is not only for your immediate family, his earning is also for his mother and father. And he is obliged to help his brothers and sisters overseas if they need the help. But not to deny your family and then for the sake of others. You have to make a balance. How much? I mean, $100 to Pakistan means how many rupees? You see? It will be excellent to support a family there. But here, I mean, $100 means nothing. Yes?
Investments? For example, wives who are working and earning money, and husbands who are investing but not doing a very good job of that and losing money.
With stocks, you mean?
Yeah.
With stocks.
Not even business.
The guys are looking at me.
Well, there are several lady physicians that I know, and their husbands are not working, but they invest their money, and they have lost hundreds and thousands of dollars in that. So, I mean, there must be a guideline, or what would you say to these ladies?
I mean, there should be an agreement first between both, because when he invests, you are investing with him, which means he has no right to go and invest independently from his wife. He should sit with his wife and consult and say which is the best. Two brains are better than one brain. And if you think that your wife is a feeble-minded, I can't help it but to say I'm worse than that, one should say. So it's better that you sit together and discuss and share with her wisdom, and you may take the decision against her wisdom, but you have to share with her and she'll tell you. Now the other thing that you should remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so merciful, he tests us sometimes to lose. It's better to lose money rather than lose a loving one. Better to lose money rather than biologically having cancer, AIDS, venereal diseases, and whatnot. And sometimes, I told you yesterday about the zakat, that early Muslims used to pay zakat in advance, so as Allah will preserve their business. But many times we don't pay the right amount of zakat. And we don't pay sadaqah above zakat. And we have plenty of money. And we are enticed to go and invest it with American corporation. And Allah is going to give us a lesson. That amount of money invested, if you have given $1 here, $1 there, sadaqah, zakat, overseas and here, Allah would have saved you and gave you more. But by denying because of the lusts, money, money, money. I have 1 million, I'm not satisfied. I wanted two, I'm not satisfied. I wanted three, I wanted four. There is no limit for lusts, shahwa. Shahwat al-mal. For the love of money, there is no limit. Same thing, shahwat al-mal, shahwat al-batan. Eating too much, shahwat al-farj. These are the three things Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you want to get sex, 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 there is no limit for it. And you see how people are getting involved in sex haram. There is no limit for button, eating, eating, eating. Unless you say, no, no, no. I want to be to the minimum. By fasting, off and on, you get so much credit. You deny yourself. Not only Ramadan. Now 10 days of Muharram we told you yesterday. Try to fast whatever number of days you want. You get the best credit from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Train yourself to fast Monday and Thursday and see how much your health is going to be and how much you are going to really produce rather than lazy. So if not because Allah is testing me in the sense that revenging from me, no, he doesn't want me every time, every year to be giving, 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 giving. He wants also to test me because he knows that I might be spoiled one day. I might reach a stage that I am the provider. He said, no, I'm going to deny you, so as you extend your hand. Many times husbands say to their wives, I'm the provider. That is shirk. You are not the provider. Provider is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The moment you brag to your wife, I am the supporter. I am this. So, lost. I have seen so many brothers lost their business, lost their investment, lost this. I said, either it is a hikmah from Allah. There is a hadith about it. The hadith says, meaning of it in English, I'll keep you healthy, 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 because if I make you sick, you'll become kafir. He said, I know your limitations, so I have to keep you healthy. I keep you wealthy, wealthy, wealthy. If I made you poor, poor, you'll become kafir. I want to keep you sick, 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 because if I make you healthy, you'll become kafir. I want to make you rich, 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 because otherwise you'll be kafir. Or healthy, sick, whatever, all these, varieties. He said, I know exactly your capacity. You cannot tolerate money, so I will not make you rich. I'll keep you poor, and you stay Muslim. The moment I'll give you money, خلاص, you spoil. I have no time for salat. I'm preoccupied. Your story will be like that of who? Sa'labah. You read chapter 3? No, chapter 9. Chapter 9, Tawbah, ayah 75 and on. Aba, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهَ لَإِنْ آتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِنَا صَدَّقَنَّا. See? He promised, he was a poor fellow, he was to pray with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the front line. He saw all the rich people, I'm not rich. Please, Ya Rasulullah, make dua that I'll be having good business, rich, then I'll give money. Stay as you are, it's better for you, you cannot tolerate money. Ya Rasulullah, every day, nagging, nagging, nagging. Finally, he prayed for him, he had business, he preoccupied himself with business. He used to pray in the first line, now he used to come late, late. In the last line, and even after Iqama, after half Salat, and even Jum'ah, he didn't have time for Jum'ah. And even Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent him one of his Sahaba to collect Zakat. Listen what he said. Go back to your friend, Muhammad. Your friend, Muhammad. No one is supposed to say Muhammad. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Go back to your friend Muhammad and tell him there is no Zakat in Islam. فَعَقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا إِلَى يَوْمِ يَلْقَوْنَهُ. He became a munafiq till the day of judgment. Then in the days of Abu Bakr, he came, please Abu Bakr take zakat. He said, in the Quran, you are munafiq till the day of judgment. You refuse to pay to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Me collect it, get out of here. In the days of Umar, the same thing. Get out of here. In the days of Usman, get out of here. He died munafiq. He lost everything till the day of judgment.
Yes, so, here the case is the wife is earning and she is giving money to the guy to do a business and he keeps losing money.
So she has to tell him, look here, honey, sweetheart, there is time to stop. But I can say. He is the investor, but he is not, he doesn't, most of us, let's be realistic, highly professional in our profession. We are not business men and women. Let's be realistic. You know, was it you or I said yesterday to one of you that we are poor manager in business. We should take a course in management. We don't know. I said everybody should have, even if you are having a degree in engineering or medicine, you should take a course or a series of courses as MBA. Without MBA, if you cannot go to MBA too much for you, take courses in business administration and management. I said almost all the masajid in America are floppy, lousy, because the imam and the maulana and the director and the president are not in the business of management. It needs management. Tell the imam, does he know computer? No. Tell him, how do you know a shredder? What is a shredder? Do you know what is... anything of the advanced, I mean, technology. Do you know World Web? I say, what? Yeah. Tell him internet. Well, I heard, but I don't know. So why don't you take courses in that in order to manage? He doesn't know how to delegate responsibility and tell them, report to me your daily, your weekly, your monthly. And he doesn't know how to see the sheet, what you call it, the financial statement. Ledger. He doesn't know what is ledger. Tell him ledger. He tell you what is ledger. So everyone should know how to take a course in business admin or management or finance or investment. Even investment. You give him the money and he invests and he loses. There is a time of stopping. But he is arrogant. He doesn't want to stop. And you don't want to lose your husband. You still pay him and pay him. Tell him, why don't you invest somewhere else? Or change this investment of whatever into some other thing.
They can both go together and take a course.
They take a course together. Very good. I'm glad that you mentioned. Both of them should take the course of business administration and management. How to manage? You know how to manage your house, huh? That's the only thing we know. You know how to manage your clinic because you have taken courses and degree. And you have been licensed after they check. And every year they have to invite you to attend seminars and work, yes or no, to renew your license. But when it comes to finance, it's not our... Imam Abu Hanifa, radiallahu anh, what was he? He was a businessman. He was selling clothes. Huh? Clothes. And what you call it, fabrics. And he categorized them three categories. And one of his employees sold the low category as a big category. He said, no, go and bring him. This, you cheated him. You have to tell him this is low. This is not high quality. He was busy. And of course, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a businessman. Every prophet, including Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, were shepherd. They lived with animals. They raised animal. Do you know now if I bring you animal and the animal say, meow, is she crying or she needs food or she needs water? I don't know. Because you don't know. I mean, sheep even, lamb. We don't know. We hear the even cat, meow. I don't know what she's. What for? Unless and until we live with animals for some times. They said, Ya Rasulullah, he said, ما من نبي إلا وراء الغنم. Every prophet has to take care of animal. How about you? He said, even me. I was راع الغنم for such and such group of people. Believe me, you will never appreciate humanity at large unless you live with animals. There is a proverb, لن تكون راعيا للأمم ما لم تكن راعيا للغنم. You will never ever be a leader for human being unless you are a leader shepherd for animals. Now, for this reason, most of our leaders in the Arab world and here in the Islamic Center, well, you don't want to work together. You invited them for the seminar, for the workshop. How many came? These loving brothers and sisters. The rest, we don't want. What? He said, you didn't make enough publicity. You think publicity is enough or convincing enough? Oh, no. They hate Ahmad Saqr, so what? I don't care. It could be many reasons. But how in the world, when all the social, cultural, and money problem and spiritual problem come to the imam in the masjid, they will not go to you because you charge them money. They go there because it's free. And they will never listen to the imam, maulana, whoever is giving the right. You did it free, we did it free, they didn't listen to us. Yes or no? She's looking at me. Man, you were involved, you were in the front line. You were our representative to the court, to the judge, to everybody. And we put her as a frontliner for us to solve the problem here. Alhamdulillah. But I'm saying, anytime you do it free, people don't appreciate. Of course, Allah will give reward. Why not you do it free? Every day. Every day. Every day. You lose your job, you lose your clinic, you lose everything. I know, whenever we, yes, I'm not blaming you. We have to do it off and on, depends. So I'm saying it is our obligation to go and then render services. The depression.
That's also an American way, that more expensive with the counseling or the doctor charges, a good doctor.
Yeah, right.
That's how this
perceived. Well, it's inferiority complex.
Yeah.
Now, if you go back to Pakistan or Arab country and you get gift with you, how much this? Oh, well, $5. Oh, it's useless. Tell them $5,000. Even if it is $50, tell them $5,000. Oh, $5,000. Well, very expensive, very good quality. They appreciate it. Inferiority complex. We have that conflict. And therefore, the more you say I charge, the more they respect. You know what I tell them? I charge $1,000 an hour. Sure, 1 hour, 1,000. I said, yes, of course. You think I'm cheap? I said, you doctors, every 5 minutes you have a patient. Even not the psychologist and psychiatrist, because you have to listen with them. But the other ones, the general practitioner, and of course you wait half hour, for 1 hour in the living, in the waiting room, then you go, secretary comes, wait, blood, all this. But when he comes to you to see you, 5 minutes. I said, in 1 hour you see how many? He said, I see maybe 20 or whatever, or 10, whatever. And therefore, in 10, how much money you make, you see? More than $1,000. I said, I have my PhD in biological sciences. Also, I'm not worth anything. I work in mental hospital with crazy people, schizophrenic. I worked with them in medical school. I did research. I taught. I'm more than $1,000 I charge you. How come you didn't tell me? I said, now because you are telling me, I have to charge you $1 million. I told you yesterday. And I tell them how to pay $1 million. I say, didn't I give you prescription Salat al-Hajjah after midnight before Fajr? When you are putting your face down on the floor crying to Allah, make a special dua for me. That is better for me than $1 million. Yeah. Believe me, I feel so happy when people go and make dua for me rather than giving me $1 million. Get the money. I don't care for your money. Take it back. Who wants to? Make dua for me. That's the best gift. Even all of you. What did I say yesterday? Yeah? What did I say, Dr. Suraya? I'm not going to take a single penny. I said, whatever extra money after you deduct all the expense, give it back to them or give it whatever you want. That's your business. But if you make dua for me, that's the best gift that you give me. May Allah bless you and you all. So in the afternoon, we have two sessions. One session is to finish there, and the final is the graduation supposedly, but certificates are ready?
Certificate.
So, okay.
They were saying that they will do it only tomorrow, but I requested that you take a special case.
Now, the administration should plan the program of the graduation. What do you want to do in the graduation? What we did in other courses, usually, the local people, at least, they, of course, will recitation of Quran, and then somebody will say a few words. Each one will express their feeling. Huh? Because our number is not too many, so each one of you will give a minute or two or 5 minutes, whatever you want to say, for future development. About the course, how you feel about, don't feel bad, say the negative. Much more say the positive, and don't feel distressed. How come she is criticizing or he's criticizing? No, it should be better. It should be better. It should be better. Yes, put all these better. And what else we should do? Brother Omar was telling me from yesterday, we should end up with concrete project rather than talk. If we do not come with a concrete project, we did not achieve anything except enjoyed it. So what is concrete project? What I told you this morning, have a professional society among yourself, non-profit, religious, because within the social family religious, government has no right upon your how you do it. You are obliged to follow your profession to the letter, otherwise they take the license from you. When you put that I'm also working with a non-profit organization, religious, they have no upper hand on you. You can prescribe religious prescription, and nobody will tell you how come you are saying Salat, and Salat al-Hajj, Salat al-Istikhara, Salat this. You can tell anything and everything from religion, and even your profession have no upper hand. You say this is part of secondary activity, not my office. In your office, you may not have the right to prescribe anything. You cannot, maybe legally. This is what I heard from other Muslims. But I'm saying, as a non-profit organization and religious, social, cultural, you have the right to do whatever you want. And you can register it as soon as possible, a non-profit organization. And you are board members of that society. You work as a, and you refer to each other. Suppose you cannot do something, you refer it to another person, so on. And if you come all together to that office 1 hour a week, 1 hour a week, 1 hour a week, whatever, or nothing. That's your decision. Do whatever you want to do. But I love to see concrete project. You see, we have too many masajid, but we don't have social services to us. Let's be realistic. The only two I have seen it, I want and help them to raise money for them. One in Toronto, Dr. Quick, and the other one is Montreal. But we Muslims have no social services. That we have brought it to your attention. The first session I showed you 15 different social services. At least take one of them and think it over. And don't think your number is so small, insignificant. One of you can create a history for 1,000 years to come. And don't belittle yourselves. And don't say, who am I to do this? Oh, well, I'm a woman. In the Muslim society, they don't know. You became what you are. And you still, you are a sister and you are a medical doctor. And you are also not only MD, but also psychiatrist. You know that first you have to be an MD to go to psychiatric. And you are, what specializing in medicine you are?
Geriatric psychiatrist.
Geriatric. Means you are an MD? MD and then specialized. You see, a general practitioner is general. But then anytime you go to any specialty means you have gone through MD and then you want X number of years to become what you are. And you made it, sisters and brothers. So you can do it. How can we do it? Cry to Allah and say, Allah, please use me the way you want. However you want, to whoever you want. But use me in the right direction to please you, so as when I meet you in the day of judgment, you are happy with me. Yes?
I had a little comment to make. You know, what I think is Allah sent us here for a reason to this continent. And as we are we have to carry the message of Islam, so, you know, we need to be a little bit different than the usual physicians here. Most of us are physicians who are attending this conference. And also in any other field that they are, they need to make, all of us need to make da'wah.
Like, to make what?
To da'wah, for
da'wah. Yes.
You know, like if we are a little bit different than other physicians, instead of giving 5 minutes, if we can give 15 minutes, especially to a patient who is having, you know, like marital problems, like being gynecologist or, you know, family practitioners, whatever problems that those patients have. And then when you keep talking to them, then they usually ask, what does your religion say? So you can, you know, open to them about Islam. You can have little pamphlets in the office. You can display anything like the, you know, the English translation of the Quran at the office, so that they can come to you and add this. These are indirect ways of dawah. You don't have to tell them to be a Muslim, but by the way you present yourself differently compared to the usual American physicians, you know, they will come towards Islam. They will keep asking you questions. Like if you are wearing a hijab to the office, they will ask you why. So you can have little pamphlets to give it to them. And like I have seen patients who tell me that they have never heard any doctor, even if they are Muslims, talk about God. So they are very happy to know that there are some physicians who wants to talk about God. And like if you are a surgeon or, you know, doing surgery and all that, you can, the, most of the patients, they take my hand in their hands and pray right before going to surgery, you know, and things like that. That will be very important for those patients to know that we are different compared to the regular physician, and they keep trusting you more that way.
You should be blessed by Allah subhanahu to have a wife like that. I don't know. I'm saying it publicly, so every husband, every wife, if the other partner of your spouse is in that category, that's the climax of what we should do in America. And usually I tell the physicians, you are more blessed than anyone else in making da'wah, because the patient coming, like, crying, please tell me what I'm supposed to do. You can make the best da'wah. I have one brother from Pakistan in our neighborhood. He used to put Quran and Bible and Torah in the waiting room. Every time he put the Quran, it went out. I said, very good. People are fed up of Bible and Torah. They want to see this book, Quran. And he put the literature introducing Islam. That's the right way. There are too many magazine, nonsense magazine, filthy, dirty, which has nothing to do with Islam, I mean, with your profession. I mean, like U.S. magazine and every other L.A. Times newspaper magazine, sports magazine, whatnot. Oh, Hollywood magazine. Why? Why don't you put some literature about Islam? Me put Islam? No. I don't want them to know that I'm Muslim. Khalas, get on. You don't want? Your name is a Muslim. Yeah? Even if you are not with hijab, your name is a Muslim. Khalas. But even with hijab, that's the best thing. I'm glad that you said what you said, but I hope and I pray that we take it seriously what she said. It's not only the hijab, it's the treatment. You say, God, tell them I'm not the Shafi. The healer is God. I am a means for healing. I'll pray for you with the dawa. And if you take the dawa, that from Allah and dawa from Allah, but I'm a means for shifa. The one, I'll make dua for you, prayer for you, so God will give you healing. Really? You doctor, you make prayer for me? That's the minister, or the rabbi, or the imam. No, me too. I'll also pray to God to heal you. That is da'wah. Believe me, what you said is 100% true. And I want every brother, every sister in your profession, really, you medical doctors, you are more to make da'wah than any one of us. Because you have how many patients a day? Approximately all of you. Approximately how many patients? 20 and above. 20 people coming to you with mercy, crying. And while you are testing whatnot, you pass information about God without saying Islam, Islam, Islam. God, God, God. God is merciful. God is the healer. God is... Sure. They feel happy. Because most of the doctors you go to, they have no time to socialize or to talk. Share. Yalla. Finish. Give me time. I have no time. So I'm glad that you said. I wish we take her statement seriously, all of us, whether you are doctor or no doctor. When somebody comes to you, be patient. Don't kick them out. Give them some time. They'll come again. They love you. Even what we do. Why they come again, I don't know. Because maybe we give them time, but I'm not telling you to do what we do. 8 hours for a pair of one family, again and again and again, they are happy. So, inshallah, the more you make people happy, the more Allah will make you happy. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala mursalin walhamdulillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.